Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Listen.
Kids Rush Radio. Kids Rush Radio.
Hey, how you doing there? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Easter. Very special shout out to my Oklahoma Sooners making it all the way to very, very happy for them, and I just found out that Oklahoma was the very first college to make the college playoff and the Final Four. I know a lot of you haters said, well, the college playoff isn't that old, but you know what? Your school has never made it to the college playoff and the Final Four unless you are an Oklahoma Sooner. Now, granted, we got to do something. We can't just be in the Final Four. Very special shout-out to Sooner Nation. I was on Facebook, and I heard a lot of people kind of hating on Oklahoma for getting beat out. But you're back home with your team from a football standpoint or from a basketball standpoint. So don't hate on Sooner Nation. We need these as much as possible. Happy Easter. I hope everybody had their successful, fun Easter egg hunts. If you don't celebrate Easter Nation, your religion, your faith, disclude you from doing such festivity. You know what? I'm glad you're joining us anyway. Tonight's program is being brought to you by Bird Inc. Check them out online, birdindustriesinc.com. 100% Indian owned, Native American Indian owned young lady named Lori Bird. It operates it, keeps it moving, keeps so much for the community. Without her contribution, I know that Kids Rush Radio would not be here today. And I also know that she has helped us out in many ways as far as getting our spring and summer tour together. Very special shout out to all of our winners at Denver March. Unfortunately, I was unable to make it due to the weather, the blizzard in Denver. So I hope you guys are all getting home safe. Generation Indigenous, brought to you by the White House, was postponed. We're going to get a later date, and we are going to let you know. It was not canceled. It was postponed, so we're going to push that back. Very, very excited to be with you guys this evening. It's no surprise that we have our own way of thinking, our own expectations, and even our own way of when it comes to role modeling, and I always wanted to be the best witness in my beliefs and faith. In saying that, I also want to respect and be mindful of other people's culture and religion. Just because we may not have the same faith, it's okay to love thy neighbor and have a friendship. So that's what tonight's program is about. You know, spent a little bit of time as a child in the Southern Baptist tribal sector. I practiced our tribal beliefs, whether that be through sweat lodge, social dancing at powwows, smudging, using the sweet grass. If you're not familiar with this, I just want to let you know that it's not a cult. It's not a false religion. You may not know this. I know a lot of you have no clue of what it's like to be American Indian, or you think you're an American Indian, or you think you have some type of ties to being an American Indian. One of the reasons why Indian country was resilient today, and I want my tribal people to pay attention, one of the reasons why we were able to be resilient is because spirituality was the ultimate component in our existence. As tribal people, We were wired differently. You hear that a lot of people of faith say that they're wired differently. And that's the same thing when it comes to tribally. We were wired differently. We relied heavily on our faith. We relied heavily on obedience and traditional customs, whether that's, you know, healing with the flute, whether that's going into Sundance, whether it's going into Sweat Lodge. At one time, that was the key component of who we were and what we stood for. Not to say that it's not like that today, because I know a lot of really powerful tribal leaders, tribal people who are doing such a great job as a witness, carrying out the duties as our tribal medicine men, our leaders, or whatnot. And it really frustrates me how a lot of people think that a medicine man is trying to be someone, is trying to be God. And let me get on two sides of that. The first side is, if you don't know what a medicine man is, find out what a medicine man is before, because a medicine man could be a Southern Baptist's preacher. It could be a Catholic leader's priest. I mean, it could be Catholic people's priest. It could be the bishop. It could be whatever, you know, whatever denomination, whatever you call your minister, your evangelist. Okay, we call it a medicine man in English terms. You know what we call it in wherever you're listening in from. But the other side to that, to some of these individuals who want to be medicine men, who want to be preachers, you are not God. You are not above any of us. You just have the knowledge that Creator, that Tukashala, that Heavenly Father assigned for you. It doesn't mean that you're higher. It just means that you've been given these responsibilities to share with us. Because here's the thing, believe it or not, for everybody out there listening, God made man. God did not, he's not responsible for all these shootings and all these killings and all this genocide, all this colonization, all these massacres, all of this. Gave this world to men. And my story tonight, my topic tonight, is going to talk a little bit about what the missionaries did to our tribal people, whether it's in the Paiute area, right here in Oklahoma, where 40 tribes have gathered together, the way tribal people were by missionaries, by religious leaders, okay? That wasn't God. That was act of men. So I'm not really going to preach to you this evening. I'm just honestly telling you the truth. I'm telling you how it really is out here. But also, that's one thing that I want all of us to think about, you know. You're wasting your Creator is the creator of all things. He looks after us. He protects us. He cares for us. He forgives us, and he wants to take our burdens and take care of things. But here's the thing. He gave this earth to man. That's why you see the sales tax. That's why you see people charging people for this and charging people for that. But all of us going down to the streams, getting water, purifying it, making it clean. He gave it to men, and men came up with the idea, let's boil this, let's bottle it, and let's resell it. Let's resell Mother Earth. And a lot of us have bought into that, you know. So it's our duty and it's our responsibility here on Mother Earth else's fault if you always say that it's somebody else's fault. You simply have to play your part. You have a responsibility while you're here on this earth, and that's to be an advocate, that's to provide your mission, And it's to be a witness. And the witness is whatever you want to share with others, whatever you believe in, you can share it with others. It's up to them to absorb it or not absorb it. That's entirely up to them. So tonight, the reason why I wanted to share this story with you was simply because it is Easter. And again, some of you may not worship the way that I do. Some of you may be from a different religion, a different nationality, a different outlook on what Easter means. And that's okay. The reason why it's okay is because I believe in it. I believe with my Lord and Savior. The journey belongs to me. It doesn't belong to my culture. It doesn't belong to my church. It doesn't belong to the university that I attended at Oklahoma Baptist University, where, you know, I will have to say, I mean, it could be so one-sided. I've never spent 4 years where something can be so one-sided. My journey is my relationship with my Lord and Savior. And how I'm able to get that journey is through conversations with him, through prayer, perspectives, ideas, and things that I'm able to go through because of my walk with God. It's up to me if I want to pick the hitchhiker and take him or her down the road about 5 miles and learn something out of it, get something out of it. It's either I gave someone a ride for 2 miles, or it could be, you know what, Creator sent me an angel today. I helped out an angel get down the road. When that angel probably didn't even need help. It was just its way. It was just Creator's way of finding out where I was and my strength and my spirituality. That's up to me. That relationship is up to me. If you care what I think, if you care what I believe, that's up to you. But that doesn't impact how I believe. It doesn't impact how I feel about things. And so in saying that, I remember when I was a little kid, I know that I've said this before in past shows, I remember when I was a little guy, I would come down here to Oklahoma, and the preachers would say, all that stuff. I even had a preacher that said, crap is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you to be with your Creator. None of that is going to work. You can't just do that. And you know what's crazy? When I go up to my reservation, I would get that from other people. You can't be bringing that white man's religion up here. You can't bring that white man's religion into this sweat. You can't put on that regalia with that white man's religion. You know, and they would say the same thing. Dressing up, putting on a suit, giving your tithe, whatever it may be, showing up on Sunday and Wednesday nights, that's not going to get you to heaven. So I would get it from both sides. I would get it from the non-traditional side saying that I would burn in hell if I talked about my traditions. Some of these tribal leaders would tell me that you're not going to go to heaven because, you know, you're not going to be with a Creator because, you know, you have this white man perspective. And I was getting it back and forth. But here's the thing. To that tribal leader and to that preacher, happily, I actually agree with them. You're not going to be with your Maker. You're not going to be with Creator. And the show is the Sunday nights and the Wednesday nights and the suits and the tithing and the regalia and the sweat lodge and the sweet grass and the sage and the cedar. Them are all rituals on both ends. They're both rituals. That's not what's going to get you with Creator. What's going to help you get there is your faith. It's your responsibility. It's what you are called to do. It's not about security. It's about being secure with what you stand for. That is what is going to get you to be with the loved ones that went on before you. Here's an example, and this is absolutely amazing. I love it. About 16 years ago, I did the All-American Dream. Got a call, great job, you know, 40, 50,000 a year, going to work my way up to probably today about $75, $80,000 a year. And there, that's awesome. That's pretty awesome. I was in that lane, and I was reaching for those goals, and I was looking forward to that status. And I remember one day, I found that my faith was being challenged by my eyes. My faith was being challenged by, you know, if I'm a believer, what will it take away from? And as times went by, I started to wonder, what's more important? What I see? Hey guys, I'm really sorry about that. I do apologize about that, but let's go back to this, okay? Let's get back into this. You know, I was really reaching for you know, what I wanted to become down the road. And my faith started to be challenged. And let me tell you guys something real quick, okay? I don't want to preach to you guys tonight, but I really want you to know how important my faith is and how important my culture is, how they can work together, how me being American Indian can be on the same level as being a child of God. And if I want to believe in Jesus Christ, how that can work. And I found out that you have to have your own journey. You have to have your own relationship with your Creator. It's not going into a brick building every night. It's not putting a certain dollar amount in the offering plate that's going to define your faith. It really is a journey. And that's what's important here. Now, in saying that, I remember I made I don't want to say I made a deal with God, because God, you can actually break a deal with the Creator, and He's still going to. But I had an understanding with Creator, my Lord and Savior, and I said, look, man, I know you don't need me, but I want you to use me. And I'll do what you need me to do. And I would pray about it, and I would pray about it, and I would pray about it. And guess what I found out? I found out that I was not with my calling, but I was unhappy with my profession. I was happy about my passion. I was unhappy about my profession. And I kept talking to Creator. And, you know, this would go on for like another 3 or 4 months. I would keep talking to Creator. And the more that I have conversations, the more oppositions would show up. The temptations would show up, not the band, but, you know, the misunderstandings would show up, the politics would show up. Listen, I don't want to be all night talking about myself during the show. If someone wants to call in, I'm going to be here every Sunday night. This program is being brought to you by Bird Inc., Bird Industries Inc. But anyway, I talked to Creator, and he said, son, like we both agree here, if you want to be used by me, and if you believe in your calling, I'll take care of you, and I'll see you through it. Now listen to me. There's a lot of athletes out there. You just won your state title. Congratulations. You're doing something great with your life. Someone right now wants. You know God. That's awesome. But you're not going to lose 100 pounds, and you're not going to go to the NBA. The chances of you losing 100 pounds is 1 out of 100. The chances of you going to the NBA is 1 out of 1,000. But unless you believe in it, and you really, really are disciplined, your chances are going to improve. I mean, I can't feed it to you any other way. Hey, you want to go walk on the moon? That's great. The chances of you walking on the moon aren't very good. You can't get a ride up there. I don't care how far your car has driven. I don't care how far, how many people you know. You believe it. If you believe in something, your chances improve. But here's the thing. When you believe in it, like the journey I was talking about earlier, the opposition is going to show up, and you're going to have more people who's going to talk you down, more people who are going to criticize you, scrutinize you, than people who are going to. The world works. That's how the world works. And your chances improve once you believe in what you want to become and what you want to do. So let me get back to the story. So God was like, well, look, if you really believe in this calling of going to different tribal communities and sharing our message, if you really believe in it and you really want to commit to it, I'm going to help you. I'll take care of you, and I'll see that you get there. Now, I've said this on my show before. I'm not a rapper. I'm not an actor. I'm not anybody famous. You know, I may not be good looking. I'm not in shape. I'm none of those things. But I'm going to tell you what. I still believe in what I want to become. I still believe in what I want to do. I still believe that my Lord and Savior, my Creator, Tukashala, will use me to the ultimate. And I was like, okay, Creator, look, I'm not happy at work. I'm happy. So I had $1,000 to my name. I bought a website. I bought $250 worth of business cards. And I bought a one-way airline ticket to a big, huge event. I wouldn't have got on that plane if I did not believe that I was going to go make an impact. I would have never got on that airplane. If you're not believing in your outreach, if you're not believing in what you're called to do, don't waste your time. Don't waste other people's time. Go find something that's going to make you happy. Go find your security. Go find what makes you an important person. Because you have to believe if you want to be effective in making a difference as an advocate, as someone doing outreach, in your mission work, and most importantly, in your faith. It's so amazing that 16 years later of putting the forefront, putting ChanceRush.com at the forefront. By the way, check out ChanceRush.com. It has all my upcoming dates. It gave me the opportunity to sit in front of you this evening and have good friends like Lori Bird who would invest in something awesome like this. See, in order for you to understand spirituality and other people's spirituality. I mean, is you've got to always continue to work on your spirituality. I have friends that are Arabic. I have friends that are Baptist. I have friends that are Pentecostal. My goodness, my mom is a Catholic. And I love each and every one of them. I respect each and every one of them. I have my son is from Syria and he's from Turkey. Best friends. My son respects his religion. He respects my son's religion. My next door neighbor right here from Saudi Arabia or Iran or whatever it may be, great, wonderful people. I don't need to judge them. I don't need to scrutinize them. I got called out yesterday. A man thought that I was Mexican. Whether I am or not, you don't talk to anybody a certain way. But yesterday I got it. He walked by and he said, you know, God bless America. I said, yep. He said, are you really from here? And I looked at him and I said, hey, man, I'm American Indian. I was going to go down that lane because I'm not going to win either way. I'm supposed to get over colonization, genocide, and massacres. I'm supposed to get over that. Right? I didn't go there. But what got me was, so this out-of-shape dude with yellow teeth and a really rude accent, and really disrespectful word coming out of his mouth, is supposed to be more acceptable here than myself. But at the end of the day, it's up to me to work out. It's up to me to have a great job. It's up to me to have a beautiful family. It's up to me to be athletic. It's up to me to be here because I belong here. See what I'm saying? I was a little angry over the altercation. I didn't really because that son's a cross game, and I'm just trying to move forward in my life. And it wasn't him chastising me because I might have been Hispanic. It was him chastising me because he was threatened. People are going to come at you because they're threatened. That's why Trump wants all these, you know, people from the, you know, from the Mideast to go away, and you know, Muslims aren't going to be welcome here. People are threatened. We can't stereotype people. White people don't like to be stereotyped. Black people don't like to be stereotyped. Natives don't like to be stereotyped. There's not a culture or religion out there that likes to be stereotyped, and they're stereotyped. So if we can't stereotype one denomination, one race, then we shouldn't stereotype all of them. It's up to you, the type of respect a person's religion, way of faith, or whatnot. But as little time that I have with you left this evening, I'm going to say this. You can say your piece. You can have your point of view. You can have your opinion. And if somebody wants to hear it, you can share it. That's what we call witnessing. But at the end of the day, it's respectful. And you still have to be mindful of how other people were brought up. You may not want to ask me what I think about same-sex marriage. You may not want to ask me what I think about homosexuality or heterosexuals, couples. You may not want to ask me, because if I tell you how I feel, you may be disappointed with me. You may not agree with me. You may quit liking me. How about this? You have your life and I have my life. We're able to share conversations. We're able to have our different point of views. But at the end of the day, I love you. I care for you. I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. I am not your maker. I didn't put you on this earth. I can't judge anybody but myself. I can't improve anybody but myself. I can't understand anyone else better than understanding myself when it comes to my point of view of things. You can have your point of view. It's so crazy. A lot of different religions or races judge other religions and other races. And we're supposed to just be one-sided and one-minded about how it is in life. We're supposed to just be one-minded about everything. There's this one dude who makes America great again. You know what makes America great is diversity. What makes America great is understanding other people's culture. You're going to have boneheads. You're going to have boneheads that put on vests and go into churches. I mean, you go into bus train stations and trains and blow themselves up. You're going to have boneheads that drive down to Oklahoma City and pull in front of a federal building and blow it up. You're going to have boneheads that go into a revival and sit there and listen to the word of God being preached by an African-American preacher and then pull out a gun and kill people of that church. Every situation that I talked about, they weren't from just one race. They were from many races. Just like we have our own conflicts, whether it's way up in Canada or up in Minnesota, where we have our own tribal people harming tribal people. Because terrorism doesn't have one race that it targets. Hate crime doesn't target just one race. And what makes America great is that every race can come together and have the equal opportunity to grow together and quit trying to outdo one another. You know, I wind down here. That's where we need to be. Be mindful of other people's religion. Be mindful of other people's point of view. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with homosexuality. You don't have to agree with Southern Baptist. You don't have to agree with traditional ways. You don't have to agree with church ways. Respect them. Let them have their own way of. If the conversation comes up and you want to conversate, that might be your time to witness. But it's not you. It's not up to you to dictate how someone should think or believe. It's up to you to dictate how you're going to believe. And your opinions need to be healthy. Your point of view. Because when you have a clear point of view, then other people can conversate and have and share their point of view. You know? So I'm saying that this season, you know, it's absolutely amazing. Of all the wonderful people that I've got to know over the years, whether they were straight, whether they were white, whether they were native black, whether they were one religion from another religion. You know, I walked in a lot of church doors. I walked in a lot of different religious doors, traditional doors, met with some great leaders, both tribal and non-tribal. And I know that my faith, I know that my outreach, I know that is important to me, and it's helping me in a lot of decisions that I make, and in a lot of my struggles. My faith and my spirituality and my culture help me. Culturally and spiritually, sometimes they may not always agree. First of all, everybody has a culture. People who are lost don't know that they have a culture, and that's where ignorance comes in. Ignorance comes in when you don't understand your background, because if you understood your background, you would understand how important it is to respect someone else's background. But in saying that, everybody has a culture. Everybody has So you have to be, that's got to be important to you. Okay, so now, as we get out of here this evening, I want to share this with you in closing. That, you know, how can I say this? First of all, don't let others dictate your spirituality. If you believe in something, you know, one thing that's going to make your spirituality stronger is if you're honest with it. If someone came up to you and says, "Hey, Chance, do you believe in abortion? Do you believe in same-sex marriage? Where do you stand on homosexuality? Where do you stand on sweat lodges? Where do you stand on sun dancing? Where do you stand on the church?" You know, I have to be honest with that. I'm not going to sit there and tell you one thing and be about something else. And whether I believe in that lifestyle or not, I'm going to love that person. When you're honest with your belief system, you're honest with your spirituality, that person will respect you more. And that you'll be able to have that conversation with others. Believe it or not, none of us is perfect. And we're not going to be perfect until we're with our Creator. We're not going to be perfect until we're proud of what you're doing. Be proud of what you stand for. And be proud of the changes that you're going to make in your life. So that other people can see that and want to be motivated to change their life. Because you can't change anyone's life but your own. But you can be an example for other people to change their life. Oh, that's my baby girl is going to bed. That's her way of saying goodnight, is when she cries because she wants me to hold her. Which means she really just wants to stay up late at night. But, you know, as we get out of here, you know, as we get out of here, love your neighbor and be in their life. And just know that your faith is far more stronger than your frustration. See, a lot of us, in closing here, we practice our frustrations and we let our frustrations more than us, then we allow our faith to get our attention. Where do we allow our faith to get the best of us? We let frustration get the best of us, or do we not? How many of you there right now say, "You know what? My faith gets the best of me, not my frustration." How many people who have faith in them say, "You know what, I can't change my frustrations get the best of me"? Well, I've really been tested this past week. I really have. I have really been pushed with what some people have said to me, how some people think they can treat me, how some people think that they can talk to me. I mean, I really get pushed to the limit. But, you know, all the things that I get to do, all the awesome places that I get to go, and the really cool people that I get to work with, and the awesome outreach that my Lord and Savior allows me to do, because back then, 15, 16 years ago, I said to my Lord and Savior, I know you don't need me, but I want you to use me. And you know what? 16 years ago, I've made a commitment to this calling. I've made a commitment to this outreach. And yes, I went broke plenty of times before I prospered. This whole outreach world that I'm doing has nothing to do with the money, but it has everything to do being an example and being a witness for Creator. But as we get out of here this evening, I want to encourage that to you is be mindful of other people's culture and their faith. Let your faith get the best of you, and don't let your frustration. It's okay to be frustrated, but be healthy when you're frustrated. Don't be reactive, but be responsive. Respond in a healthy way. Respond in a strong way. Make a difference. Hey, listen. I'm so grateful. And I'm so happy that I have had the opportunity to work with you tonight, to share with you tonight. I want to say thank you. I want to say God bless each and every one of you. Happy Easter. It's time to say night. Tell everybody to say night-night.
Night-night.
All right. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. And take care of yourself. God bless. Be mindful of other people's culture and faith. Here we go. It's a good night. Come on, baby. You gotta get in bed. Come on.
Baby.
Kiss me off.